Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text this morning, the words of the Gospel from Mark chapter 1. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I've been brushing up lately on my Spanish, once learned but long forgotten and become very ungrammatical and spotty. And so I've been studying each day and getting back some of what I once had and unlearning some bad habits I gained along the way in how to pronounce and speak and put my grammar together. But there's a lot of words I didn't need to learn because I've known them all along, and one came to mind today as I was looking at this gospel, and that word is mañana. A simple word, and your reaction, though, shows the issue. It's a simple word with a lot of baggage. It just means tomorrow, right? But we laugh because it's an idiom. Relax. Chill out. Let it wait. It's not that important. Now, a message like that can be really important for some people. For people like me, who tend to do too much and not take a break all that often, it's a good reminder that we can't do everything at once and that some things need to wait. But it can also be a crutch to put off for tomorrow or inevitably something that should be done now. And tomorrow never seems to come. I was also thinking, as I looked at this passage and that idea, about a man I met in India this fall, a patient in one of the Mother Teresa homes, a man who likely would never leave that place and in all likelihood is no longer there because his days were limited. And he only knew a few English words. Hello, uncle, what you call men from other countries who speak English, and tomorrow. And this wonderful, delightful man had the habit of conning the international volunteers out of all sorts of different things. Baseball hats and jewelry and all kinds of other things. And when someone would resist giving him something, he would simply say, tomorrow. When the food would run out, he would say, tomorrow. When the nuns wouldn't let him rise to the roof of the building and look down on everyone else, he'd say, tomorrow. And some of those tomorrows would never come. They weren't realistic at all. It was just pushing something off into the distance. Well, when we do that, such an attitude can cause a lot of problems. Those who say mañana about their health can pay a high price. Those who push their finances off again and again to tomorrow can wind up in financial trouble. But the most dangerous delay of all is the delay of spiritual matters. Tomorrow, I'll listen to God. It's not convenient today. Tomorrow I'll think about his plans for my life because my plans seem so much more attractive right now. Tomorrow I'll speak to my coworker about Jesus. Tomorrow I'll invite that neighbor to come to church. Tomorrow I'll care. Such delays can be a serious spiritual problem, and they're not the response of faith that Christ calls us to. So what a contrast we see when we read this passage from Mark. One of Mark's favorite words is the word immediately. Euthus in Greek. Immediately, and Mark is a gospel of action. Everything's happening right away. You go from one story to immediately launching into something else as if there's this driving force that pushes Jesus onto the cross and the grave. Immediately he did this and that and kept going. For there is an urgency in all of it. It communicates that sense of importance, that what's happening is of utmost importance for us and for the world. And so today we hear Jesus call that we follow him. And it's got a sense of immediacy about it. It's urgent, of the greatest possible importance. Well, this passage from Mark 1 shows the beginning of Jesus' ministry and his proclamation of the good news of God. In the few verses that come before it, Mark had told us about Jesus' baptism, which we looked at 3 weeks ago. He told us very briefly about Jesus' temptation, which we'll examine a few weeks from now. But right here in these verses, there's a turning point in the gospel. John the Baptist is arrested, and Jesus comes. John had prepared the way for the Messiah, but his preparation was complete. And as John himself once said, he must increase, I must decrease. John knew who Jesus was. He knew the time had come for Jesus to begin his work. And so did Jesus. And so the Lord goes into Galilee with a message. The time has come. The critical time, the fullness of time, the moment everything is leading up to has come, and the kingdom of God is at hand. That very thing that God's people had been waiting for generations, was ready to be revealed. The kingdom, which at times seemed so tantalizingly close, was now actually here. The time when God himself would be among them and would reign. But how interesting that their expectations so often didn't line up with what God had truly promised. The kingdom would come indeed, but in ways different than human imagination would dream of. But still, Jesus proclaims, the time of the kingdom is upon us. And it's a practical proclamation, for the coming of the kingdom of God changes everything. And so Jesus tells the people how to respond to this moment. How do you react to the coming kingdom of God? Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom is here. Repent now. Believe now. But what does this mean? Repentance and faith go hand in hand in the plan of God. Repentance literally means a change of mind, a turning around, a turning from something and a turning to something, as Pastor reminded our children a few weeks ago. We're accustomed, and I think understandably so, to consider repentance in the context of sin. Turn away from sin, and that's certainly a message that we and all people need to hear. After all of Jesus' hearers, then and now, are sinners. All follow after their own desires instead of God's. All by nature want to serve themselves instead of their fellow man. Each of us does the same thing. By ourselves, we're turned from God. We're turned from each other, turned inward upon ourselves. So Jesus calls us to admit the truth, to listen to his words and to turn from sin, even as we did at the beginning of this service. But repentance cannot be alone, or it simply causes us to wallow in guilt. Now Jesus calls us to repent so that we hear and receive his gospel. Believe in the gospel, the good news of God. Believe that God is faithful and keeps his promises. Believe that God's Savior has come and that he delivers us by his grace. And when you consider that full proclamation of Jesus, repent and believe, we see that the turning of repentance is not only turning away from sin, but allowing God to grab us in his gentle arms and lovingly turn us toward himself, to pull us toward himself at his invitation and by his work, as the Holy Spirit turns us to Jesus, to believe and to follow. Hearing Jesus, remember what Mark is saying about this. This is immediate. When is the time to repent? Now. When is the time to confess our sins? Whenever we sin. When is the time to believe? Now. The time has come. The fullness of time. The critical time. Believe in the one that God sent. And then Jesus can make another immediate call. Follow me, he says. Passing by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus sees people involved in their ordinary day-to-day lives. Brothers Simon and Andrew are busy fishing. A little farther away, James and John were mending fishing nets in their boat. Evidently, on that day, James and John either were a little luckier or they had a bit more skill, for they were already done with their day's work. While the first two were still out fishing, James and John were cleaning up and getting ready for the next day. But the call of Jesus wherever he finds people is the same. Follow me. Follow me. And using their own vocation to customize the message, to help them understand, follow me and I will make you a different kind of fisherman. Follow me and fish for men. When he calls them to faith, he also calls them to discipleship, to learn and grow in him. He does that immediately because he wants them and us to be in that deep relationship with him. And while they followed, I have to wonder if at least part of them hesitated. Were they tempted to say no? Tempted to stall? Can I finish my shift, Jesus? Can it wait until tomorrow? Can I at least sell all these fish that I've just brought in? Jesus, is there something else I could do first? And in fact, we know from the gospel narratives that there were people who heard the invitation of Jesus who tried to delay their response, something that's always seen as inappropriate. But that's not what these men did. Hearing Jesus' call and moved by the Holy Spirit, they answered immediately. They got up. They left their things behind and they followed him. They became Jesus' disciples. There was no delay for tomorrow. Jesus called. By faith, they answered. And because of this, they were blessed. And we were blessed. For through their witness and their testimony, we have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have his words and his actions recorded because Jesus used these disciples to bless us, to make other disciples. Jesus calls, and they answered. And this is the way our God works. His call is always an immediate one. Repent. Believe. Follow. And so he calls to us today. And he bids each one of us to do these things now. Hearing these words, I couldn't help but hear them in the context of some recent events. Two Sundays ago, in worship, we prayed for the family and friends of Diane Gaylor, a 47-year-old woman who had just died unexpectedly, a woman with very close friends in this congregation, including me. And last weekend was her memorial service. We had another one on campus this week in which I was both honored and extremely challenged to proclaim the message for someone I love. No one expected her to die in that way. No one even yet knows exactly what happened. And there are moments, to be honest, when it just doesn't seem real. She died at the middle of an ordinary day, preparing for bed, and suddenly she was gone. Thankfully, she belonged to the Lord Jesus. She's received the salvation here and for all. But such hard and tragic events, and the many others we know in our own lives, easily remind us that we should number our days and remember the importance of now. for none of us knows what tomorrow brings. We can and do make plans, but none of us truly knows what will happen, what will change. Be prepared. But we do know that God does not change. His grace and his love do not change. His character does not change. His promises do not change. We know that Jesus did not delay or put off to tomorrow the carrying out of our salvation. But when the moment had come, he carried our sin upon him, our unbelief and our delays, and went to a cross for us and for our sin. In that moment, he suffered and died for us and did not walk away. He was buried for us. He rose for us. He lives for us. And the risen Lord now calls to us once more. The kingdom of God is here. Repent, believe, and follow me. And his invitation is an immediate one. Today is the day. Today he bids you to follow. Today he calls us to worship. Today he calls us to fellowship in his body. Today he calls us to be a blessing to each other. Today he calls us to be fishers of men, to share the gospel with those we know, to reach out gently and lovingly to invite others to share in the blessings that we have received. Follow me, he says, and I will make you a fisher of men. Do it now. Rejoice in this invitation, in that it is he who prepares all things for us to walk in. Follow me, he says. What will tomorrow bring? Truly, we don't know, but we know our Savior. We know our call. Believe. Follow Jesus. Call others in his name. And as we do this, we know that the one truly great tomorrow lies before us, our eternal life in the kingdom of God. And until that day, we follow joyfully, because the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is. And he's right here. We belong to him. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.